Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Sneedcast Industry Update. You know, our series that keeps you updated with our ever-changing industry. For those of you that have been watching the series for a while now, you know how this goes, but for those of you that are new, welcome. We'll be covering the latest in manufacturing, packaging, coding, sustainability, and much more. I'm your host, Alexa, and today we'll be discussing topics ranging from building an affordable community in California, to expanding access to beef grading, to analyzing the economic bright side as inflation slows, and finally, investing in treating fracking wastewater. So, starting off, it seems that the Silicon Valley is expanding, but it's not in the way that you would typically think. After years of secretly snapping up farmland, the CEO of a company backed by Silicon Valley billionaires pitched voters their vision for a walkable, affordable community that would appeal to their California pride. Jan Ceramic, a former Goldman Sachs trader, is taking the lead on this city-building effort. They offered the latest detailed look at his proposal to construct at least 20,000 homes in between Sacramento and the San Francisco Bay Area. In order to ensure the future of this community, Ceramic's plan needs to be approved by county voters in November to bypass protections put in place back in 1984. Agricultural protections were placed to keep agricultural land from being turned into urban spaces. However, if approved, then the new construction would be built on more than $800 million of rural land that was stealthily purchased over a period of years. Ceramic said, the development could be an amazing success story in a state in need of a win at a time when leaders of Texas and Florida are routinely beating up California. A statement that would have been unimaginable 50 years ago when all anyone could talk about was the California dream. Ceramic also goes on to add, California used to be this place of optimism, and if the project is done right, I do think it's going to change the conversation. It's going to open up a new path for the state and for the region. The state is in desperate need of more housing, especially in terms of affordable housing for teachers, firefighters, and other municipal employees. While all of this sounds fine and dandy, critics, including a congressman and environmental groups such as the Sierra Club, remain skeptical about the project's aims. Concerns are especially high since Ceramic's company spent years secretly buying up land around the base and even suing local farmers who refused to sell. The main concern is that urban sprawl could harm sensitive ecosystems and tax the region's already strained water supply. The Solano Farm Bureau said, buying up farmland at low prices and rezoning for housing development has been a quick way to make a buck for decades in California. The company's newly revealed 83-page initiative requires a ballot title and summary for the county before the campaign can begin collecting signatures. They need signatures from roughly 13,000 county voters to place the measure before voters in November. Ceramic's outlined his plans for 50,000 residents living in row houses and apartment buildings between 3 and 6 stories high. Everything would be within walking distance to jobs, schools, bars, restaurants, and grocery stores. It's estimated that eventually the city could grow to 400,000 people, but at least 15,000 jobs that pay above-grade wages need to be created. The plan calls for an initial $400 million to help Solano County residents and Air Force Base families to buy homes, among other investments. Bill Carrick, a veteran Democratic consultant, said that the group faces a tough challenge winning over local residents at a time of high voter cynicism, hostility between political parties, and inevitable doubts about wealthy outsiders coming in. Critics of the project held signs outside of the building Wednesday, indicating they had been shut out. While some residents feel that the current infrastructure won't be able to accommodate the growth, others are thrilled about the passion behind the project. Ceramic said he decided to build from scratch because the needs are too great to simply build within existing cities, especially with construction costs running as high as they are. We're sure to see even more updates as the year progresses, but for now, we're taking a look into the USDA's latest pilot program to expand access to beef grading. Moving on, U.S. Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack announced a pilot program to allow more cattle producers and meat processors to access better markets through the USDA's official beef quality grading and certification. The pilot program focuses on remote grading for beef. It was developed by the USDA's Agricultural Marketing Service, also known as AMS. The concept focuses on matching simple technology with robust data management and program oversight to allow a USDA grader to assess beef carcass characteristics. After the beef carcass is assessed, the USDA grader assigns the official quality grade from a remote location. The new program helps to reduce costs while eliminating location as a barrier. Vilsack announced the new pilot during a panelist discussion with livestock producers and independent meat processing business owners in conjunction with the National Western Stock Show in Denver. In addition to announcing the new pilot, Vilsack also highlighted the USDA's programs in the West that create economic prosperity for farms, ranchers, and rural communities. Some of the programs include bolstering new markets, creating jobs, and keeping farming and ranching viable for the next generation. The announcement builds on the USDA's comprehensive approach to increase competition in agricultural markets, create a fairer playing field for small and mid-sized farmers and ranchers, and provide producers with more options to market their products. According to Tom Vilsack, on average, a beef carcass that grades as USDA Prime is valued at hundreds of dollars more than an ungraded carcass, but costs for the voluntary USDA service often prevent small-scale processors and the farmers and ranchers they serve from using this valuable marketing tool. Vilsack also goes on to add that this remote grading pilot opens the doors for additional packers and processors to receive grading and certification services, allowing them to access new, better, and more diverse marketing opportunities. Consumers as well as buyers and sellers of beef rely on USDA quality grades, including Prime, Choice, and Select, as a clear and standardized way to indicate quality. Everyone involved in the beef supply chain, from cattle producers to beef consumers, benefit from the greater efficiency permitted by the application of official U.S. grade standards. While over 90% of America's fed beef supply is officially graded by USDA, most users are large beef packaging operations. USDA meat grinding and certification services are significantly underutilized by small independent processors due to the cost of having USDA graders travel to their facility to perform in-person services. For relatively small numbers of cattle that may not require a full day of the grader's work, the results are in. Experience with remote grading so far has shown it dramatically reduces travel-related expenses, which makes the service more accessible to small processors. In this pilot, trained plant employees capture specific images of the live animal and beef carcass. These images are then submitted electronically to a USDA grader already trained elsewhere in the U.S. They then review the images and accompanying plant records and product data and assign the USDA quality grade and applicable carcass certification program. Finally, they communicate the official grade back to the plant so that it can be applied to the carcass. At the moment, the remote grading pilot for beef is limited to domestic beef slaughter facilities operating under federal inspection and producing a product that meets the eligibility criteria for the USDA grading program. Moving on. The University of Michigan's Consumer Sentiment Index has seen a remarkable surge, marking the most significant increase since 1991 over the past 2 months. This surge suggests a noteworthy positive shift in how Americans perceive economic conditions. A crucial factor contributing to this optimism is the steady decline in inflation. From a peak of around 9% in June of 2022, inflation has subsided to 3.4%. The deceleration has alleviated concerns about rapidly rising prices, a key contributor to the overall improved sentiment. One positive economic aspect is that weekly earnings for the typical worker have risen by 2.2% after adjusting for inflation over the past year. This means that in real terms, pay has increased by 2.5% compared to the pre-pandemic period. This wage growth plays a crucial role in cushioning the impact of a higher cost of living. Consumers seem to be responding positively to several economic factors, such as slower inflation coupled with higher incomes, lower gas prices, and a buoyant stock market, collectively contribute to an atmosphere of economic well-being. Despite the decline in inflation, prices remain nearly 17% higher than they were 3 years ago. The dissonance creates a source of discontent among consumers who still grapple with the financial aftermath of the recent surge in inflation. As the nation heads towards a presidential election, the dynamic of declining inflation rate and persistently high living costs raise a critical question for voters. The relative importance they attribute to these economic factors could significantly influence the political landscape. While certain sectors have witnessed a decrease in inflation, such as grocery prices dropping from a peak of 13.5% to 1.3%, challenges persist. A typical basket of groceries is still 20% more expensive than in February of 2021, underlying the nuanced nature of economic recovery. Personal stories like that of software engineer Roman Marshall highlight the intricacies individuals face. Despite an income increase, rising living costs, particularly in housing and groceries, pose tangible challenges for many Americans. Economist Ryan Cummings suggests that economic outlooks are increasingly shaped by political affiliations rather than the underlying economic performance. As the 2024 election approaches, political partisanship might play a pivotal role in shaping consumer sentiment. Economists caution against government attempts to intervene and reduce overall prices. The potential consequences, such as a recession and job losses, underscores the delicate balance required in managing economic policies. Despite the challenges, there are individuals like the software developer, Dana Smith, who express optimism. Factors such as pay raises and increased home values contribute to a positive perception of the economy's trajectory. So, in summary, consumer sentiment in the U.S. is experiencing a notable upswing driven by factors like declining inflation, wage growth, and positive economic indicators. However, the persistence of elevated prices and sector-specific challenges introduces complexity. As the nation approaches a presidential election, the economic landscape characterized by a declining inflation rate and enduring living costs become a key consideration for voters. The delicate balance of optimism and caution, along with the potential influence of political dynamics, shapes the evolving narrative of the nation's economic recovery. And we're down to our last story. Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham proposes a $500 million initiative aimed at addressing water challenges in New Mexico related to the oil and gas industry. The plan involves treating and recycling wastewater generated by oil and natural gas drilling, with the goal of creating a sustainable and strategic water source for industrial purposes. Activists expressed reservations about the initiative, citing concerns about the reliance on unproven technologies for wastewater treatment. There are fears that the plan might inadvertently lead to an increase in water-intensive fracking activities, raising environmental and social justice issues. Governor Grisham's proposal is driven by the dual objectives of preserving freshwater sources and positioning New Mexico as an attractive destination for businesses. The recycled water from the treated wastewater is intended to meet the needs of various industries, including microchip manufacturing and hydrogen fuel production. Mariel Nanasi, Executive Director of New Energy Economy, asserts the initiative seems designed to address the oil and gas industry's wastewater disposal challenges, particularly in the Permian Basin. Julia Bernal, Executive Director of Pueblo Action Alliance, views the plan as potentially favoring hydrogen production and advocates for more investment in renewable energy sources like wind and solar. Secretary James Kenney presents details of the plan to the State Senate Budget Writing Committee, outlining the financing aspect involving up to $500 million in bonds over 2 years. Legislative approval is a crucial step, and the process is ongoing with the construction spending bill yet to be introduced before the legislative session concludes on February 15th. The Environmental Department proposes a new regulatory framework to govern the reuse of oil industry wastewater and the desalination of naturally occurring brine. The department seeks input from various stakeholders, including those from business, academia, and the government agencies, through a request for technical and economic briefings. New Mexico currently holds the position of the second largest oil production state in the U.S., and the initiative addresses the challenges posed by extensive underground reservoirs of salty water, integral to hydraulic fracturing, and advanced drilling techniques. Governor Grisham's $500 million proposal aims to address water challenges in New Mexico by treating and recycling oil industry wastewater. While the governor emphasizes the need for a strategic water source for industrial use, environmental activists raise concerns about potential drawbacks and the impact on fracking practices. The legislative process is ongoing, with stakeholders providing input on the proposed regulatory framework. The context of New Mexico's significant role in U.S. oil production adds complexity to the discussion. This special episode of SneedCast Industry Update is sponsored by our SneedPak case sealers. Elevate your box sealing process with our case sealers. They're designed to increase accuracy and efficiency while minimizing material waste and human error. Our case sealers ensure a flawless packaging experience in record time. Choose from a variety of models suited to different box sizes, guided by our expert team. Don't settle for generic solutions. Invest in innovation with SneedPak case sealers and revolutionize your packaging operations. Like always, stay tuned for our next episode of SneedCast Industry Update, and make sure to like, comment, subscribe, and hit that notification bell down below to stay up to date with all of our great content. Also, let us know what topics you'd like to see us talk about here on the show. We look forward to hearing from you all. Bye, everyone.